born to die, that he might give eternal life, that I might live.
Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at yankeearnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message. Jesus saved
my soul that night. Now look what he said. Until the glory and the praise of God. Do you believe that when you get to heaven, God is going to give you praise, honor, and glory? God's going to brag on you. Now, once in a while when somebody does things, I like to brag on a person, you know, praise, compliment. God says give honor to whom honor is due. But you got to watch, you don't get too carried away with it. One deed, one act that you've done, okay, that's done. We can't live our lives looking back and then reliving that moment of glory. Have you ever caught a pass? You know, this a long bomb or something like that, and you made that one play, whoo, and you the hero, and then you relive it 1,000 times in your mind. Never did it again, but you did it one time. You can't live in the past on past successes. They should be encouragement for us to do a greater job in the future. Whatever we have done for the Lord should only encourage us to do more for the Lord. Now, let's see. I guess I get to cool down now. It's on a downhill slide. Just going to coast from here on in now. I told some of the people at the camp, I said, I've only been here 10 months, but I felt like I've been on a treadmill. Never get on a treadmill. You can't seem to get off that treadmill. You just like you just go. But buddy, isn't it some ride? Isn't it enjoyable? Now, I'm not interested in getting off the treadmill, but I might want to slow the speed down just a tad. I was on it one time, and I got it going, and for some reason or other, the faster I run, the faster it went, and I couldn't have it stuck. It was one of those that would go according to how fast you ran, and I was looking for the off switch. There is no off switch, and I couldn't figure out how to get it slowed down. Sometimes it's that way in life. And that's why it's good to take and relax and enjoy some things in life. You know who has an anniversary yesterday? Sitting right there. There's those lovebirds sitting right there. And they had an anniversary yesterday. And so I got some things that James is going to be doing today and tomorrow and the next day here. No, I told her she can go on her trip. Can take it 3 days off, but now James got to work. No, anyway, they're going to take off this afternoon and go wherever, you know, whatever. But it's good to take and get away and enjoy life. I mean, he doesn't even need to go. All he's done is just go to camp and lay around, do nothing. You know camp's nothing but a vacation, right? Just, you know, just go and sit and eat and sit in some meetings. No work to do. Ain't that right? Yes. Oh, what a blast. Verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren. Now, he's going to talk about some things that I want you to understand because he's already told them that God's not finished with ye yet. Because God, in verse 6, that he hath begun a good work in you, wants to perform. God wants to work through your life. And he wants to perform fruits of righteousness, as he says there, which are by Jesus Christ. In other words, the fruits of righteousness is Jesus Christ in you, living through you. That's what he does. That's what he does best. And then he says in verse 12, I would you should understand, brethren, that the things, and this is so important, look at it, the things which have happened unto me, bad things, I just wanted to serve the Lord and seemed like everything went wrong. They didn't go wrong. God is using those things that we seem to go wrong for His honor and glory. He says, have happened unto me, like John when he called me up. Look at the last part of that verse. Have happened to me, have fallen out rather unto thee. And you are to underline this in your Bible. You see, you have a plan. God does too. And when you dedicate your life to the Lord, expect God to interrupt your plans. God's going to interrupt your schedule. There's things God wants done. There's places God wants you to be. And the only way He can get you there is to give you either a flat tire, a broke arm, or something else happen so that He can get you where you ought to be. See, God knows. God can even close down the place where you work. You can lose a job. You can be in a hospital, the doctor's office. See, God has the right to put His light anywhere He wants. Now, does He or don't? And He doesn't have to ask your permission. And so, you do the right, the best you know how to do, and you leave it with the Lord. There's some things in life you can't change. It's not in your power to change. There's a lot of times I wish I had a little magic wand. I could just wave my little magic wand and all the problems go away. But God wants us to serve Him in the midst of the problems, not remove the problem. He wants you to go through the problem, and there's things that He wants you to learn from the problem. And there's a darkness by which He wants the light to shine. Now, we sing that song, "This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine unless it gets dark." Need to rewrite the song, I guess. But look what he says. They have happened to the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, what's Paul talking about? He says, hey, I'm in jail. Looks like everything's going wrong. He says, don't worry about it. He says, what's happened to me? I get a chance to preach the gospel to somebody that I wouldn't have had no other way. See, God still has a reason of why He does what He does, why He permits what He does. See, Paul, when he made up his mind he's going to serve the Lord, he didn't start guessing everything. Second guessing. You ever made the decision that you thought was the right one and you're so forth and then something seemed like it goes wrong? Well, maybe it didn't go wrong. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. Is that God has things that He's working out. Just always trust Him. And get what He says in verse 30. He says, so that my bonds. In other words, He's in prison. He's in chains. But He makes the statement, in Christ are manifest. Get this. Are manifest in all the palace. Talking about Caesar's palace. He says, here's this Roman Empire. A little old bitty, scrawny, beaten up Jew. And God is using this guy to shake the Roman Empire. And even though when he was over there in Israel, he says, I am a Roman citizen and I know my rights. I appeal to Caesar. He appealed to Caesar. So now they got to take him all the way to Rome. Guess where Paul wanted to go anyway? He wanted to go to Rome. Now he goes on their ship and they pay the way. He was already told and warned, if you go to Jerusalem, he said, I got to be there for the Passover. He says, you go there, they're going to put you in chains. You're going to become a prisoner. He says, let her rip. So he does it anyway. Next thing you know, he's on his way to Rome. And now he says, I've got opportunities to talk to all the guards. He says, and they know, everybody in the palace has heard about Paul. Isn't it wonderful that today we name our children Paul, but nobody names them Nero? You name your dogs Nero, but you'll name your kids Paul. But anyway, there was Paul in the prison and a dog. Oh, anyway, look there in verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many, get this, and what happened to him, Paul says, has caused other people to be bold. Caused them to be bold because the way that Paul can accept the problems. And whatever, being in prison. And if Paul can serve the Lord and that happens to him. Well, buddy, if he can do it, so can I. Do you know other people are challenged to serve the Lord because they see other people serving the Lord? Don't people judge you and your spirituality by how you face a crisis. You have something really go wrong and they want to see how you handle it. So people are watching you. They want to know whether or not do you gripe and grumble and murmur and complain, or do you still have the joy of the Lord? Or when things are good, you're, oh yeah, everything's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But when everything goes wrong, man, you're on the bottom. Now, you're not supposed to be like a yo-yo. You're supposed to be running like a Mazda. Remember that commercial they had it years ago when the Mazda came out? It was that circular motor. You're supposed to run not like a Volkswagen. You're supposed to run like a Mazda. Not up there, not down here. Well, I don't think that motor lasted too long, but they think they got it back again. I thought, man, that was some awesome motor. The reason I say that is because I bought me one of those Mazdas. Blew it up. I had that thing flying down the highway. Well, it died. I'll just say that. It died. Left me stranded. Verse 14. He said, and many of the brethren in the Lord, get this, waxing confident by my bonds, and you ought to underline it, are much more bold to speak the word, and underline that, without fear. Because, see, Paul was not afraid what people could do to him. Then other people became bold. And, see, Paul did not live his life in fear of the government. He wasn't afraid of government. Government was afraid of Paul. That's why they put him in prison. Not because he was wrong. Because he was right. Government was wrong. Paul did right. And there was a price to pay. Now, the day, I believe, is coming, even here in America, when God's people may be put in prison, some concentration camp, just because you believe the Lord. We do not have any guarantee that America will stay free to the rapture. Hope so, believe so, but I don't know so. And look what he says in verse 15. Now, there's always some who want to put wood on the fire, make it burn hotter. There's others who'll be challenged and motivated. And there's some who always want to do you wrong. So he says in verse 15, he says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. So their motives. Do you think God is concerned about people's motives or why you do what you do? They see that some will have a bad motive. They do something because just filled with envy and bitterness and jealousy and strife, all these things. Sometimes hoping that they'll add affliction to your bond, make it worse on you. You see there in verse 16? The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing, and you ought to underline that, add affliction to my bond. No more, make it worse on me. Because this is, look what Paul's done. And make things worse. And you'd be surprised. You may serve the Lord, but there's always that possibility that some Christians, not lost people, will persecute you. Over the years, and I'm talking about right close to 50 years, most of my problems in the ministry have always been believers, not lost people, believers. I have very little problem with lost people. But I always have that problem with that little bunch of Christians who always seem to be more spiritually minded. And they know your real motive. Yankees okay, but I know his real motive. I had one man who says, Yankee, I'm behind you 100% because I know your motive is to serve the Lord. Well, later on, he didn't believe that my motive was right. Now, my motive hadn't changed. But anytime it's because somebody else is trying to perceive your motive. You see, Rick Ryder, he really doesn't love the Lord. He's here this morning, but I know his real motive. He's trying to get money out of somebody. He's really got an ulterior motive. You see, but there's people that do that. If you dress up church on Sunday morning, the only reason here because you're trying to show off that new dress you got. That's a real motive. Yeah, she comes here because she's trying to find a feller. Oh, the man's only reason if he comes to the church because he's looking for the right woman. I know the real motive. And there's always a bunch of spiritual snobs like that who look down their long, pharisaical nose at everybody else and think they're like callous cornflakes, just a little bit better. And they're always prejudging. Did you know, it's very difficult to tell somebody else's motive. That's why God is going to judge the motives of man. God knows my motive. And I can say I do it because I love the Lord. Paul even makes statements like that. He says, and I lie not, God being my witness. But sometimes nobody else really knows why you do what you do. I can say there's people who, if it hadn't have been for them giving us scholarship money, there's a lot of these kids would have never gone to camp. Because we don't have a money tree. It's only because somebody gave some money. And we were able to let kids go to camp. And because of that, the lives are changed. Well, now I know their real motive. No, you don't. I will believe that they did it because they love the Lord until I know different. And the only one's going to tell me differently will be them. I just like to take people at their word. So he says there's some people that preach for the wrong motives. So he says here in verse 17, he says, but the other of love, knowing that I, and you ought to underline, this is an awesome verse, I am set for the defense of the gospel. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Look there in verse 7, where he says, even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, and get this, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. In other words, God has given me the strength to go through all these things that I've gone through for your benefit, because I want to give you the gospel, because I had you in my heart. So Paul says, this is a small price for me to pay to get you to trust the Lord. He says, ye are my crown of glory. Ye are my reward. The people that he reached for the Lord. In other words, whatever price Paul had to pay, he says, it's all worth it. So yes, people wanted to kill him and all kinds of things that would happen to Paul. But he says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. To say what the gospel is and what the gospel is not. Now, many people do not understand what the gospel is until you tell them what the gospel is not. When the Bible tells us this, that a man is saved by grace, nobody has a problem with that. You can even tell them that you're not saved by your works, and most people have no problem with that. Until you begin to tell them what you mean by works. Did you know that if no man is saved by his works, did you know that not one person ever born into this world has ever deserved to go to heaven? In other words, going to church won't get you to heaven. And money won't get you to heaven. But most people will do it anyway because they think it has a part. It's helping. And all their prayers that people pray, think this will get them to heaven, it won't even help. No, not by works. It's not by works. So you tell them what that means. It means that there is none good. There is none in the whole world good enough to go to heaven by the things that they've done. So he says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. And this is my reward. This is what I get because of what I believe. Now, Paul could have changed it. But you see, back in those days, they had to make a decision. In Caesar's day, it's either Caesar is king. Caesar is king. Or Jesus Christ is king. And if you want to say Jesus is king, it could mean you could be thrown to the lions. And they would take sharp stakes and put them in the ground. And they would take people and they would shove them down on top of those sharp stakes. And then slap some nice animal fat and oil all over them and set them on fire. Now turn the lions loose and just let them eat them up. How would you like it if that was your wife or that was your child? And they're trying to get you to deny the Lord. If you can't live for him, you're not going to die for him. And to think, Paul says, I am willing to fight even the wild beast at Ephesus, to whatever he went through, because of his love for the Lord. He said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I will not change it, not alter it. Get what else he says in verse 18. He says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. In other words, whether they did it with the right motive, the wrong motive, Paul says, at least Christ is preached. Just because somebody doesn't run with our flock, at least they're preaching Christ. But you want them to preach the right message. Now, he didn't say they were preaching the wrong message, just with the wrong motive. You want to preach the right message with the right motive. And so he says here, he said, and I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, not talking about hell, my deliverance, because he's in prison, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In other words, of all the things that have happened unto me, but they've happened rather to the falling out of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel. He said, and I'm not ashamed of that. But he does say this, but that with all boldness, get this, as always, so now also, get this, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So whether you live or whether you die, you want Christ to be magnified through your body. You live. And I believe this should be the goal of every child of God, that Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so he says in verse 21, because he knows he's in prison, he knows he don't have much time left. Because you know, when it was all over with, they took him out and they chopped off his head. Now, Paul was beheaded. According to history, he was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down on boiling oil, but evidently didn't kill him. He died on the Isle of Patmos in his 90s. Mark went down into Egypt, India, and other ones went different places. But they all died for their faith, except John died of old age. But they believed this. And they didn't do this in order to get to heaven. They did it because they were going there. They did it because they were trying to reach other people. And look what a price they paid. Today we have people who don't even want to pay the price. We got people today, it's just too much for them to get out of bed and come to church on Sunday morning. The Lord's Day. It's just too much for them. They can't even pay the price of getting the gospel out, whether through radio or television, they're giving to the church like it should, helping missionaries. They just can't pay that price. We got people today, they can't even share the gospel because somebody might say something hurt their feelings. Well, I don't want to lose my job. Don't want to pay a price. Want everything to be right. I don't want to suffer any inconveniences. Well, to each his own, I guess. And some people will and some people won't. But see, there's a day coming called the day of Christ. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and God is going to reward us for what we've done for him. It will be worth it all.
Look up here. Letting this hand represent you and me, and the wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. God says that he loves us. He hates our sin. And for us to pay for it is eternal separation from God. But God loves us. He wants us to go to heaven. But to go to heaven, we have to be perfect, as righteous as God. And none of us are perfect. We've all sinned. We've all come short of God's perfection. So God says you cannot earn eternal life. You can't work your way to heaven, lest any man should boast. So God says, I'm going to do something for you, and I'll make it free. That sounds pretty good. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He was the Lord. See, he came into the world, lived 33 and a half years, didn't sin. So he didn't have to die. But because he loved us, he took our place. He took our sins. He paid for it, came back from the dead. Said that if you and I, if we would believe he did it for us, he would give us as a free gift everlasting life. His death for my sins would become my payment. I don't have to make. So now I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven whenever I die. But I'm not there yet. So the Lord, in order to live here, gave me his power, the power of his might, the Holy Spirit, to indwell us. And if you will yield yourself to him, he'll teach you how to live. The Lord can teach you how to live. How to handle every trial, every tribulation, every temptation. He can teach you everything you need to know. But you got to let him. He will take you through his word and he will highlight things as you read and study it. And a lot of it, you won't even get it. It won't make any sense. You won't understand it. But all of a sudden, there'll be a verse that says, this is for you. This is for you. This is all you need right now. And then next time you read it, I didn't see this before. And he'll teach you something else. It is the living word of God. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can do that right where you are. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to come forward. You don't even have to raise your hand. All you need to know is, I'm talking to the Lord, and God sees, and he understands. He knows those who will believe it. Will you believe it? If you will believe that when Christ died, he died for you, he'll give you as a free gift everlasting life, and you get to go to heaven on what Christ did for you. Would you trust him? And if he will, God said he would save you. You can know you're going to heaven. If you're watching by internet, on the screen, there's a little button up there and it says, yes, I will trust Christ as my Savior. Would you do that? Would you trust the Lord? We'd like to know. It just sends us a message that says, yes, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And that's such a blessing. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, anyone all before we close, say, yes, I will trust Christ as my Savior tonight and preach. I'd like you to pray for me. Anyone at all? If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, how you doing in your spiritual life? Are you growing spiritually? Are you getting stronger and stronger? Did you know that you have within you the Holy Spirit to teach you, to lead you, to guide you, and helping you to do everything he wants you to do? He can walk with you through all of these trials that you have, and we have them. We have a lot of lust of the flesh. He can give you the strength to desire the right things. Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for your word. We ask you to strengthen us as we need to be. Each one of us are different, but same Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Were you ever told that you must confess Christ before men to be saved? Were you warned that if you refused to confess Christ, he would not confess you before the Father? Just what does that mean? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.